about you gotta put it in perspective.
All right, everyone, please open your textbooks to chapter 4. Today we are going to talk about the human reproductive system.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Okay, so the deal is I get girls like you jobs. The jobs pay $1,000 to $5,000 a day. I'm recording this interview. And then I send the demo tape to producers, and if they like you, they're going to hire you. Have you done anything like this before?
Never. This is my first time.
All right, now a lot of these scenes are going to be you interacting with someone else, so I'll just come around and read with you. Now, since I'm holding the camera, I'm going to need some help with my belt buckle.
Well, normally I would say no, but I've been involved in enough age discrimination lawsuits to know entrapment when I see it.
Hey, guys, it's Jane Biondi. I got your message. Just wanted to say thanks, and please give Tommy all my love, okay? Kisses. Bye-bye.
And now, we're the number one show in hospitals and on sinking riverboat casinos.
Our feature presentation.
And Turner in the air to center field. That ball's hit well. Martinez on the run. This is way back, and it is gone! It is a walk-off home run for Justin Turner!
And there's Justin with his homeless beard rounding the bases. I heard a story. Hey, Allie McKay, how are you?
Oh, hey, Bean.
Hey, Chip.
Hi, Bean.
I heard a story last night that Justin Turner was a little boy watching the Kirk Gibson walk-off home run in the Dodgers playoffs, which was 29 years to the day from yesterday.
And the only time it has happened before. A walk-off in playoff Dodger history.
Bookends 29 years apart.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
This is, I mean, I don't even see.
Just stop it.
What Mama Muggs could say about
okay.
this.
Okay, yes.
I don't even see how she could find a crack in this system.
Well, I'm going to just put it out there that we don't ask her.
Really?
No, we don't talk to Mama Muggs during this run.
Are we tempting fate if we do?
Is yes.
that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
She's putting her bad mojo on everything?
Yeah.
I mean, look. The Cubs have to win 4 out of the next 5 games to go back to the World Series.
Right.
Against this team?
Right.
Right. Yesterday, and I don't know how often this has happened. I'd love the stats on this. Yesterday, the Kings won.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodgers won.
Mm-hmm.
The Galaxy won.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams won.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chargers won.
Wow.
All 5 L.A. sports teams winning on the same day. That has to be very infrequent, I would think, right?
No. But maybe now that there's 2 football teams, it just seems like so much more.
Yeah.
And when they're not great.
President Trump was right, man. We're going to get so tired of winning. Because yesterday was something else. How was your weekend, Allie?
It was wonderful. Thank you, Bean.
What'd you do?
I saw Depeche Mode.
Oh, you've been looking forward to this for so long. Hollywood Bowl.
They did not disappoint. It was amazing. Yeah. I think the people going tonight are probably going to get the best of Depeche Mode because no offense to Wednesday nights, people. You had a great time. But I looked at the song selection and I was like, wow, that's a lot of new stuff for you. And then when I went on Saturday, it was, you know, some new but most old. Mm-hmm. I think tonight's people are going to be like, yeah, this is perfect.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Did you cry?
I did not. I did not. I was filled with happiness, and my Martin did not do somebody, which is fine. Did not do But Not Tonight, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But he did Home, and he did the most stripped-down, beautiful version of Strange Love. I was like, ugh, Martin, you're just good. And he gets the biggest applause. It's so funny because you think Dave, he's just such a front man and he's so sexy and he does all those butt moves and whatnot. But when Martin comes out and sings his little heart out, people really respond to it.
He's the fan favorite.
I believe he is.
A band like Depeche Mode can't do all the songs.
Oh, no. It would be a very long show.
Because you mentioned a couple that you would have loved to have seen, but the songs they did are those same songs for another fan.
100%.
They just got too, many songs.
Yeah, they did Bowie, too, which, good for you. Feel free to leave it out.
They did Heroes?
They did.
They're still not on board with that.
It's 100 times better live than it is on the little snippet that I heard. Mm-hmm. But you got enough songs, guys. feel free to do another one of yours.
Well, that's fun.
It was really
fun.
Glad
you had a good time. How about you, Chip? Anything fun?
No, just chilled. Pretty quiet weekend.
Hey, we have a very, very busy show today. But I think this might be a good opportunity for us to put up a quick plug for the new Kevin and Bean t-shirt. Now, Dave is, for some reason, keeping it a secret, man. He sure didn't want people to see it. It is behind a veil.
He sure did post a picture where you can't make anything out.
You really need a telescope or something to be able to see the artwork on your new t-shirt. So let's get that up ASAP, you guys, on all the Kevin and Bean social media. But we have been doing these from time to time where we roll out a t-shirt. Some of the proceeds will go to charity. And it's a Bean t-shirt this time around.
Okay.
So this is an opportunity if you're a Bean fan. You can buy this t-shirt. Of course, anyone can buy this t-shirt. But the guys came up with this, and it was presented to me. It was a surprise. I was not involved in the conversation, but it just popped up one day. Maybe it hatched while I was on vacation. But it's me in a sweater with a pipe.
Sure.
All things I do and use.
Mm-hmm.
Typing on a typewriter.
Of course.
A strongly worded letter, I assume, to some editor of some website somewhere, complaining about the use of the term daylight savings. And that's what the t-shirt is about. It's daylight saving. It's not daylight savings. You should know that, Bean. And I have a very stern look on my face.
Well, yeah.
And it's a very funny shirt that is very appropriate for this time of year because, as you know, we're only a couple of weeks away from the time change this year. So it is going to be up for sale.
Is daylight savings that early?
Yeah, daylight savings is coming.
Wow.
It's saving, first of all, and we're leaving daylight saving time and going back to standard time.
It's the double whammy.
So exhausting twice a year. So anyway, so as we have done in the past, the t-shirts will go on sale Thursday morning at 10 a.m. for only 24 hours. Now, the reason we do it this way is because that way we can sell them to everybody who wants them and we can make just enough for you. All right? Mm-hmm. That way we don't have warehouses full of t-shirts that we...
Warehouses.
Yep.
Right.
Full of them.
Right. So... Thursday at 10 a.m., we'll put up the pictures, and I got the opportunity to select the charity, and I could not be more thrilled to be able to, thanks to you and your purchase, raise money for an animal welfare charity, which is SoCal Bulldog Rescue, which is a great long-running charity organization down in Orange, California, and they do... People surrender their bulldogs or they rescue their bulldogs and they rehabilitate them. Some have had very tragic, sad lives. So sad it's hard for me to think about, much less talk about. You can't believe some of the awful things that these dogs are put through. They are rehabilitated and then rehomed, and they are a wonderful organization. So if you dig me, if you dig animals, if you are a stickler for detail when it comes to how people speak and write, lots of reasons.
This is a trifecta for you.
I'm telling you, this is the greatest t-shirt ever.
This rescue is where Kat got her bulldog, right?
That's where Miss Dean came from. Viola, yes. And I know lots of people who have gotten bulldogs too. And it's just, it is literally a miracle to see the change in these dogs from when they come in and they're beaten and they're broken, and then they end up with a family and being healthy and happy sometimes for the first time in their lives. I mean, it really is incredible work that these folks do.
Okay.
So we're very happy to be partnered up with them for this charity. So the t-shirts go on sale this Thursday at 10 a.m. for 24 hours only. We're going to have men's shirts and women's shirts, whatever size you need, but just for 24 hours. So definitely make plans to be buying them, and you can get all the information and make your purchase through krock.com. And thanks especially to our friend Lightning at the Long Beach Clothing Company, who is the ones who do the quick turnaround on these to make sure that you'll have your shirt in time for the time change this year. So how special are you going to be when you've got a special time change t-shirt to wear on that day?
So special.
So special.
The most special.
All right. Let's take a look at today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Boy, you sure complain a lot.
Oh, no complaints today, you guys, because it's 7:20. All the details you need to know on this year's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. And
I'm telling
you what, you're going to be pleased.
Yeah, you are.
Hope you like Everclear.
You're going to be. Hey, Chip, we're not allowed to say yet. Andrew Siciliano will be on, speaking of those Rams and Chargers wins and all the rest of NFL Week 6. He, of course, from DirecTV's Red Zone. That'll be a little bit after 8 o'clock. We're going to be talking about unusual items on your bucket list. A guy broke the law a few days ago. because he had always wanted to. It was on his bucket list to do this particular thing. We'll talk about that. Hear what you have to say. That's on your bucket list as well. Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com coming up next half hour. And Bobby Moynihan will be joining us too. He was on SNL for, I want to say, 9 years or something like that. A real all-star, man. I was so sad to see him leave the show. But he left it for a new TV show of his own called Me, Myself, and I on CBS. And we'll talk to Bobby about that. All that coming up. And Ralph's got the showbiz beat, too. 7:20 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. All the details you need to know to buy your tickets for K-Rock Almost Christmas 2017. It is Monday morning, 5:54. Ralph is here. Time for a first look at the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning. Let's give you something to start off your Monday, start off your work or school week. Let's give you something. How about a four-pack of tickets to the Bike Beer Fest?
Yay! Oh, the kids love beer.
Oh, they'd love it. And who doesn't? It's at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino this Saturday. And here's what you get. A four-pack of passes to the Bike Beer Fest at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. It is a great event. You get to hang out with K-Rock. Beer Mug's going to be hosting.
Wow. Awesome.
Very appropriate.
How appropriate, Beer Mug? Somebody is in a beer fest.
Yeah.
15 breweries, blackjack tables, food trucks, live performances by K-Rock's Sonic DJ, Nubez.
I don't understand what any of those words mean.
I don't either. These Handsome Devils and Hollywood U2, which is a great sound-alike band. You can get tickets for just $20 at thebike.com, or you can win tickets right now. One lucky winner, just one, will get a four-pack of passes to the Bike Beer Fest at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino this Saturday. So give us a call. You got to be 21 years of age or older to win this. So let's make it caller number 21 right now. 1-800-520-1067. Caller 21 gets to go to the Bike Beer Fest. All right. It's Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Happy Death Day, right?
Right.
We're getting into that zone where horror movies and spooky stuff just seems like the right thing to do. A lot of people felt that way over the weekend. In its debut, $26.5 million made. Happy Death Day, number one. Blade Runner 2049 came in at number two. The Foreigner debuted to $12.8 million. New Jackie Chan movie was number three. It, The Mountain Between Us, American Made, Kingsman, The Golden Circle, The Lego Ninjago Movie, My Little Pony, and Victoria and Abdul, your top 10 films at the box office. I know the only movie you care about being is Victoria and Abdul. Have you had a chance to check out Victoria and Abdul yet?
No, but my wife went last night without me.
What a burn.
Oh, sick burn.
Well,
were you locked in a closet or something? You couldn't get out?
I can't go to a movie that late, you guys. It was like 7 p.m. or something.
Oh, dear.
What's wrong with you?
Went with a friend and said it was great and I would have loved it. And blah, blah, blah.
Why didn't you just go?
School night. Got to be fresh.
When does that kick in?
Hey.
So, if you go to bed at 10 o'clock at night, you can't do your job?
I try not to stay up that late on a school night.
We all do. But if on the rare occasion when there's a movie you want to see and your wife is going to the movies, don't you just go?
I didn't last night. I guess I could have. Instead, I chose sleep. Mm-hmm. And I was in bed right around 8 p.m. But she said it was terrific. Glad some people went to see it.
Your life sounds like hell.
Dude, being in bed asleep at 8 p.m. is pretty sweet.
I just think you're terrific.
Thank you.
Not if you're missing out on life.
You missed out on Josie and Abdul.
Victoria and Abdul.
Okay, sure.
And movie night with his wife.
I mean, wins there?
Yeah, that's true. She's with a friend and she got to see a movie and she didn't have to put it with Bean.
Sounds like you're rethinking the whole process.
The Harvey Weinstein mess continued over the weekend. A couple shoes dropped. The board of directors of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, the folks who hand out the Oscars, went ahead and stripped Harvey of his membership. Producers Guild also did the same. Emmanuel Macron, French president, says he's taking back the coveted French Legion of Honor award from Weinstein as well. So everyone is stripping Harvey of any honoraries that he may have received over the years, and it's happening slowly but surely. They're chipping away at what he's got.
Are they going to be forced now, because of public pressure, to deal with Roman Polanski and with Bill Cosby as members of the Academy?
I suppose. Here's the thing. When those events were happening, it was a different membership, you know? This is a move made by this membership at the board. And that they're going to have to address what the member. I mean, it's been like, I think, a 50% turnover in terms of who was around when Roman Polanski was there. So they have to go back and take a look at that all over again, I think, because
they have the,
there at the time.
Authority to do it, though.
I believe so. I think they can have anybody they want in their organization.
Yeah.
So maybe this will force them to take a look at those guys. They certainly should. More actresses are coming forward as well. Eva Green, French actress, who, of course, was in the James Bond movie Casino Royale. Australian actress Natalie Mendoza, British actress Lisette Anthony.
Wow.
Have all come forward.
This is Cosby-esque in proportion, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, we're getting close to 35, 40?
Well, this was 3 decades worth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't just start this.
Right, yeah. So this is just the tip of the iceberg. We're getting more and more. So, sad, sad, sad. But it looks like people are taking steps in the right direction, little by little. Today's celebrity birthday, Suzanne Somers is 71 years old today. Filmmaker David Zucker is 70. Tim Robbins, the actor, 59 years old today. Flea is 55. John Mayer turns 40 years old. And from Vanderpump Rules... Oh, Dave, don't put these people on my list, please. Vanderpump Rules. Tom Schwartz from Vanderpump Rules is on my list.
I think he might have been one of the ones that followed Dave after the last time we talked about him.
Tom Schwartz from Vanderpump Rules.
Followed me on Twitter.
Is on my list of celebrity birthdays.
What's up?
The worst. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Who will you be seeing on stage at this year's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas?
We'll find out 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. It is the most wonderful time of the year, Allie. Don't you know it?
It definitely is.
Harvey Levin on the line, TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey. How are you, man?
Good morning, guys. Good.
Great to have you on. You know, I was wondering, I've heard a lot of people talk about how Harvey Weinstein is not a name that is known outside of the coast. And I'm wondering, because you have analytics on everything that goes on TMZ.com, how much interest is there in this story among your readers?
Well, huge. I mean, it's definitely, it's the biggest story of last week, all week, and just it continues to grow. I mean, you know, part of it is it's not just about Harvey Weinstein, it's about Hollywood. And that is one of the things that just is, it really gets me that, you know, look, the things that he's accused of are atrocious, but what did the Academy do with Bill Cosby? And there were 60 women who came forward. Now, I'm not saying all of them were telling the truth, but 60 women came forward. Right. What about Roman Polanski, who raped a 13-year-old girl? You know, and we could go on. And then the question is, you know, they expel him, which is fine, but they do it and they are acting like, oh my God, we had no idea. Are you kidding me? I mean, you know, we found this video over the weekend. I'm sure you guys saw it by now. The video of Courtney Love in 2005. Okay, you know, you guys have been around. Courtney Love goes on television in 2005, on television, and says it. Do you think maybe Courtney Love mentioned it 1,000 times before she went on TV?
Sure.
And what about Angie Everhart, who says that he masturbated in front of her on a boat filled with A-list stars at the Venice Film Festival about 10 years ago, and she says, I told everybody on the boat. She actually told me one of the people. It's off the record, and I can't say who it is because I told her I wouldn't, but it is a huge star among many others on the boat, and they all treated it. They said, oh, that's Harvey, and they passed it off as a joke.
Well, it was an open secret, and that's Harvey seems to be everybody's rationale.
They're all acting like they had no idea, and it's just crazy. And, you know, this is just Hollywood, you know, with its red carpet image where, you know, they all kind of get together and they say, hey, you know what, we got to have this, you know, this image, whether it's true or not, you know, and look, if it was accepted before, fine. But don't act like, oh, my God, now that we found out, we're just going to jump, because they knew.
What do you think about the people like Woody Allen and last night Al Michaels, who are getting in trouble for the way that they are responding to it, for not standing up for the victims, for making it sound like, oh, Harvey's going through a tough time and I'm sad for him? I mean, there's no room for that anymore.
No, God, no. No, 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 no. There is a party line in this thing, and a Hollywood party line. And again, I'm not saying the reaction is wrong, because it's not. I mean, the stuff that he's accused of is really outrageous, but, you know, you do have to kind of look at, you know, again, what was tolerated for so long. What's happening now is, you know, they're going after, you know, everybody's kind of looking at everybody in their business. And, you know, what I'm hearing is there are going to be more stories coming down the pike.
I don't doubt that at all.
With other companies. So, you know, that's just kind of what's going on right now. This is the issue. This is what everybody's talking about.
Talking to Harvey Levin on the line, as we do on Monday mornings on the Kevin Meade Show from TMZ. Let's get into Bob Weinstein for a minute. Now, he was a partner, a 20% partner, along with Harvey in the Weinstein Company. Now, that takedown that he did last week, what was it, with the Hollywood Reporter, was so brutal. And the first thing I thought when I sat down to read that was, how does his brother not know about it?
Well,
but then you see that they were completely estranged and didn't talk and were on different coasts. Is it possible that he didn't know about this until it broke?
Everyone in that company knew about it. There were women that would actually be in the meeting, get up and leave. That whole goddamn company is complicit.
Well, not just that. We did this story last week. There's a contract that says that if they settle or there's a judgment against Harvey Weinstein for, you know, whatever, which would include sexual harassment, that all he has to do is pay the judgment and then pay a fine, and he cures whatever the problem is. If you think about it, you know, what they're saying is, well, we just assumed it was for consensual sex. The reason that doesn't make any sense is there was a penalty attached to each judgment or settlement. If they're just settling a nuisance lawsuit and everything's consensual, why would you impose a penalty in a contract? You impose penalties for wrongdoing, not when people get sued wrongfully, but when they do something bad and they get sued. So by definition, when you look at the contract, they were conscious of Harvey Weinstein's bad conduct by putting this penalty clause in. And, you know, that's, you know, Ali, what you're saying makes, you know, total sense. How could they not know? It was institutionalized in the contract.
So Bob's outrage. Bob's outrage then does not fly with you at all. Then,
well, he is outraged, and I hear he is just angry, and you know.
But it sounds like he knew about it.
You know, look, I can't jump in his head, but it's, you know, when you've got people like Courtney Love and you've got all this other, look, it's his company. You think when Seth MacFarlane says that on television in 2013 or in 30 Rock, they make a joke like that in 2012, somebody isn't going to say, what's up, guys?
Yeah.
You know, but there's a board meeting tomorrow.
And I wanted to ask you about that because one of the things I saw in your story last week was that Harvey's attorney is claiming they don't have the right to fire him because they didn't go through the proper channels. Like, it's in his contract that he's allowed mediation and other steps that haven't happened here, right?
Well, they're going to tomorrow. The firing is on the agenda. Harvey is going to be on the phone, on speakerphone from Arizona. His lawyer, Patty Glaser, is going to be in the meeting, and they are going to challenge on three grounds. They're going to say, number one, he didn't violate the contract, that the contract was signed in October of 2015, and they're saying there have been no allegations made since then, and that's the only basis on which they could fire him under the contract. So that's number one. Number two, they say they've never gotten even a word as to why they fired him, which they're supposed to do. And number three, like you said, they're supposed to go through a mediation and arbitration. Now, on the other side, we know that Bob Weinstein's people are saying, number one, they had an absolute right to fire him, and they're citing a code of conduct. Now, the dispute is that Harvey Weinstein's lawyer, Patty Glaser, is saying, BS, there's a contract which trumps the code of conduct. And they're going to say we had every right to fire him. There is going to be an explosion. Everybody is saying this on the inside.
Why would anyone want to be involved with this company from here on forward? Change the name, whatever. Why would anybody want to be involved with this?
And work with these people.
You know, look, there have been all these rumors that people from the – it was a palace coup and that, you know, that people on the inside just wanted to get Harvey out. The reason that's just so weird to me is you're right. It's almost like Munchausen's, if that's the case, because by doing this, you know, it just makes the company so toxic.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to do, but I do know that Bob Weinstein fully intends to keep the company going, to move it forward. He, you know, they've got a team that they believe where they can produce movies and continue to produce movies. You know, it's hard to, listen, it is hard to produce a movie in this town. And as long as they have a pipeline to do it, there will be people who will do it. And make no mistake about it. And remember, and Ellie, you know, you say that, but you know, when those audio tapes came out with Mel Gibson, what, 7 years ago, everybody said, that's it, he's cooked. Well, Mel Gibson's making movies again. He got nominated for an Oscar.
Yep, people have very short memories for despicable people.
They do.
It's pathetic.
You're right. Well, you guys are doing a great job, as always, at TMZ.com, keeping up with the very latest. And you're right, we're going to be definitely tuning in to find out what happens with that meeting. TMZ airs on Fox throughout the day, of course. Channel 11, TMZ Live at 4, same channel 11, TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight. And don't forget, we don't mention it often enough, but the tour is so fun, you guys. Go to TMZ.com. You got people coming into town. TMZ Tour takes you all around. It's a lot of fun. All right, Objectify. Harvey Levin, Sunday nights at 5 on the Fox News Channel and every Monday morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. We love you, man. Thanks for jumping on. Just after 7 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show, we'll talk to actor Bobby Moynihan. Boy, Ralph, it must be tough to walk away from Saturday Night Live. What do you think?
No.
You don't think
nope.
so? Why? That's a great gig.
It isn't.
Yes, it isn't. It's a brutal gig. It's nothing but pressure and disappointment and infighting and battling. And you like to watch the show, but that's not what it is to make the show.
Long, 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 long nights of people stabbing you in the back.
Okay, I'll accept all of that. Well, Bobby Moynihan did walk away at the end of his ninth season and stars in a new CBS sitcom called Me, Myself, and I. He'll be joining us right after 7. And then all the details you need to know for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. All right, you're here with a new feature, Ralph.
I am. I've discovered that the crowd sourcing, crowdfunding sites like Kickstarter, et cetera, they have some great people who are raising money for some great things, for the most part. And then there's just a bunch of dumbasses who are just trying to take your money for no reason. I'm bringing you today some of my favorite GoFundMe fundraising causes in a segment that I like to call Go Fund Yourself.
Don't fund this crappy thing, baby. Ralph will put it to the test. You know he got to. He will let you know how he feels. And maybe then you will know the real deal. Go fund yourself. You are so sucky. Go fund yourself. Hey, 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 hey. Go fund yourself.
So it sounds like you're saying some people shouldn't be allowed to go on the internet and beg for money.
Or certainly you shouldn't give any money to them. I'm shocked at the money that these people are raising with these causes. For example, I am surprised that $72,978 has been raised by the non-existent Nigerian's Women's Bobsled Team. Nigeria's Women's Bobsled Team that doesn't exist yet is asking for $150,000 so they can start the Nigerian Women's Bobsled Team.
Now, of course, I haven't seen that page. Is there any chance they're telling the truth and that's what they're really trying to do?
I believe they are, but still, stop it. Nigeria doesn't need a women's bobsled team.
I don't know where they train.
I don't either. That's part of the problem. I will need funds for such thing as a bobsled. Yeah, well, I guess you would.
That's imperative.
Sled runners. The blades on the base of the bobsled. Tools for the bobsled. Ice to learn how to drive the bobsled. What's happening?
Maybe you're starting too far behind to get into the lucrative world of bobsledding.
You know what? Maybe you want to donate some money then to Nicole Wilde for her art bus. Her art bus has broken down in Macon, Georgia, and she needs some help to repair her art bus so she can continue with her mission, which is quilting across America. The Quilting Across America mission. She wants $15,000 from people to fix her RV so she can continue to quilt across America.
What does she do? Does she roll into town and just set up at an intersection?
Yes, and then she quilts across America.
Huh.
But she's stuck in Georgia with the art bus, as she calls it, and she can no longer quilt across America. To which I say, that's not our problem, Nicole.
I feel like Nicole is just, like, that's her hobby, but she's also on a long vacation.
Yeah, exactly. She wants us to pay for it. She wants $15,000. She's raised $7,175 of that.
Oh, my. Wow.
Go fund yourself, I say.
Go fund yourself.
So somebody saw that and said, I need to get this lady back on the road with her quilting, and actually threw down some money at her.
How about Caleb the Bagpiper? He needs new bagpipes.
All right.
Caleb the Piper has the Caleb the Piper Bagpipe Fund. He needs $4,700 to get new Highland bagpipes.
The goal of this GoFundMe is to ask friends, family, and bagpipe music enthusiasts near and far to contribute. There are no bagpipe music enthusiasts. He wants to raise $4,700. So far for Caleb's new bagpipes, they've raised $4,850. They've exceeded their goal.
Are you kidding me?
Freaking bagpipes.
Is he a bagpipist of some note? Is that why?
No, he's just Caleb.
Okay.
Go fund yourself, Caleb.
Go fund yourselves.
How about Jim Murray, who wants to write a book about to publish all of Tesla's secrets? You know, Nikola Tesla?
Sure.
Oh, boy, I wish that other guy was here today.
Yeah, the one who told us that he invented the Tesla automobile? Yeah.
Here's Jim Murray talking about Tesla.
Hi, my name is Jim Murray, and I've been doing independent research on electrical power generation for the past 45 years. This endeavor was motivated by the research of Nikola Tesla, the great Serbian genius who gave us the 20th century.
He gave us the 20th century.
Oh, I didn't know
a lot
that.
Of stuff.
What would we do with that Nikola? I didn't know he gave us the 20th century. I'm pretty sure that would have come along anyway.
So what are we paying him for? What's this guy
He's going to write a book to teach us something very important.
And the reason why I've been doing this is because I was just animated by the search for his secrets that were never published. Secrets about how to generate power with almost no cost.
Free power.
Okay.
Jim's going to tell us how to get free power.
If he's right, that might be worth it.
Yes, free electricity. He's going to teach us how to do that for $15,000. Jim is going to teach us how to make free electricity.
I'm intrigued.
It's Tesla's secret. If it's $15,000, Jim, then it's already not free. If you're charging us $15,000
right.
and you're going to write a book. By the way, it doesn't cost anything to write a book.
No, yeah.
Just get some paper and write it and then sell your book and then you'll get your $15,000, Jim.
Problem solved.
Lastly, my favorite by far is 17-year-old Logan Wright. Logan Wright, he has started a GoFundMe page that says simply, pay off speeding ticket.
And I want to be honest.
I want to read you Logan's post, pay off speeding ticket. So on today, on Memorial, 17 years old. So on today, on Memorial Day, I was driving to work in my Honda Civic at 9:40, trying to get there by 10 because I'd enjoy not getting fired. As I was driving there, some dumbass Mustang passed me going around 80, flipping me off. I wasn't going to be a pussy and lose to a Mustang on Freedom Day. So I kissed my USA lanyard and my picture of Stone Cold Steve Austin, the best damn wrestler to ever live, and started burning him. I passed the Mustang and turned up my Van Halen CD. As I was slowing down to tell the Mustang to eat S, a state highway patrolman pulls out and gets my dumb ass. Now, I backed the blue and my country through and through, so I wasn't mad at him for pulling me over, but the Mustang thought he had big enough nuts to dust me. So the patrolman comes to my window and says, what do you have in this thing? And I say, bald eagle pee and freedom, sir. Then he replied with, do you know how fast you were going? And me, being the smart ass I am, said, well, I was slowing down to give you both a chance. He didn't like that too much. Moral of the story is, I got a ticket. But I did dust the Mustang, so it was worth it. The money donated is going towards the ticket because I spent all my paychecks on race car parts. Any extra money, if I'm that lucky, will go towards AC/DC CDs. Have a blessed day, America.
Logan is the hero for our time, Ralph.
Logan was raising $500 to pay off his speeding ticket. You know how much he's earned to date?
Oh, 50 grand.
$2,450.
Really?
So Logan doesn't have to go fund himself.
Go fund yourself.
LA and OC's alternative rock. Ralph Garman is here. That means it's time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on, sir?
Who's playing Acoustic Christmas?
Oh, wait until
who's
you
playing?
Find out.
Tell me.
Can't tell you yet, Ralph.
Tell me now.
I'm just going to say this.
Minutes.
Tell me now what's happening.
Which I might have seen as I walked past some secret paperwork.
Not very secret. It doesn't sound like very secret paperwork
to
me.
I don't want any of my friends calling immediately and asking for tickets. No. None of you. A couple of you. But mostly none of you.
Smash Mouth fans?
This lineup. Woo-hoo! Doggy.
If we could get Smash Mouth
and
Sugar Ray, though. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Huge.
But we can say no more. All 20 right. minutes.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Happy Death Day debuted at number one this weekend with $26.5 million. Pretty good.
Now, this is a horror version of Groundhog Day, right? That's what it is?
Basically, yeah.
Huh.
Girl lives her birthday over and over again and keeps getting murdered, and she has to try to stop the killer before one of these times it sticks and she stays dead.
That sounds fun.
Sure. That's not fun to you. Blade Runner 2049 was second at the box office with $15 million. Then The Foreigner, the new Jackie Chan movie.
Jackie Chan.
His $12.8 million made it number three at the box office. It, The Mountain Between Us, American Made, Kingsman, The Golden Circle, the Lego Ninjago movie, My Little Pony, and Victoria and Abdul rounding out the top 10 movies at the box office. More women have come forward in the mess that is the Harvey Weinstein sexual abuse and assault. I can't even say it's a case, many cases. Natalie Mendoza, Australian actress, said she was groped by Harvey while she was shooting The Great Raid during a script meeting. I may have told Mr. Weinstein mid-script meeting after he sent his assistant out of the room that I'd punch him in the face if he didn't take his hands off me. Good for her. Eva Green, very lovely and talented actress from Casino Royale, also was had to push him off after an encounter. Lisette Anthony, the British actress, said she was also she was raped by Harvey Weinstein in her home in London in the late 1980s. So more women stepping forward very courageously and telling their story about what this monster did to them, and hopefully at some point there'll be some criminal charges brought against him, and he'll do some time. We'll have to wait and see. Meanwhile, there's better news, like the fact that Kacey Musgraves is off the market. She got married over the weekend. I think she's adorable.
She sure is.
Married her longtime boyfriend, Rustin Kelly, in Tennessee. So congratulations to them. And also Malin Ackerman. I believe that's how you say her name. I'm never quite sure. But you know her. She's from Billions. The lovely and talented actress who's also in Watchmen. She is engaged to her boyfriend, Jack Donnelly. They got engaged over the weekend, so congratulations. When is It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown air? Is that
soon?
Is that this week, I think?
Sure.
Have you ever seen it? Anyway, there's interesting trivia was released this week about It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Came out in 1966. Did you know that?
No.
So that makes it 51 years? Mm-hmm. I don't know why they're celebrating the 51th anniversary.
51th?
51st anniversary? I had a lot of sake last night.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was at one of those sushi and sake nights. Here's some trivia you probably didn't know about The Great Pumpkin. It's the first time that Lucy pulling the ball away from Charlie Brown when he's about to kick it was ever shown in animation. Up till that point, it only existed in the comic strip.
Really?
Yeah. There was one of the actresses, Kathy Steinberg, who voiced Sally.
Mm-hmm.
She was about to lose a tooth. So they had to rush through production to get all of her lines recorded before she lost her front tooth and had a lisp.
Oh.
Isn't that cute?
Lucy with the lisp would have been cute.
Charlie gets a bag of rocks, you know, for Halloween.
Yeah.
Because he's a bald-headed dumbass.
No, he's not.
He's the worst cartoon character ever.
Oh, he's wonderful.
He's adorable.
People felt so bad for him. They sent candy to Charles Schulz's office for Charlie Brown.
See?
That's dumb.
That's
he's not
delightful.
Real. It's stupid.
It's adorable.
Everything about the Peanuts and this is stupid.
You're the worst. By the way, this Thursday.
Is it Thursday?
Yes.
I knew it was this week sometime.
Yeah.
Ralph, your daughter must love It's Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, right?
No, she doesn't because she's never seen it.
That's child abuse.
No,
I agree.
It's not. It's awesome, and I'm saving her from dumbassery.
Oh, it's the best. Ugh. Delights me to no end.
Stupid. It's the worst.
Little pube on his forehead.
Little loser. Deserves those rocks. And when it was aired, it was so popular, the Apollo 10 crew loved it so much, they named their command module Charlie Brown and their lunar module Snoopy.
See? Astronauts love it. Everybody loves it.
Nothing worse than astronauts and peanuts.
When was the last time you watched It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown?
I don't recall.
See, in your mind, somehow, you've built it up to be awful. If you were to sit down Thursday night...
I remember last time I watched it, I said, well, this is awful. I'm not going to do this again. I remember doing that. I remember that thought process.
But you were wrong then, though. And what I'm saying is, if you try it again this week, I think you'll realize that you were wrong, and it's great.
But there's other things in the world still, right?
Mm-hmm. Not on
Thursday.
I just
want to make sure there's other things.
Not when It's a Great Pumpkin's on. There isn't.
Mm. Yep.
Yep. Today's celebrity birthday, Suzanne Somers is 71 years old today. David Zucker is 70. Tim Robbins is 59. Flea, of Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 55 years old, and singer John Mayer is 40. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Allie, are you going to be able to hold on for 10 more minutes?
I will.
I feel like you're bursting at the seams to get this information out
this
there.
This lineup is incredible.
Like, I feel like you shouldn't have seen it because it's too much for you.
It's probably best that I learned on air with the rest of the people, but...
K-Rock, Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017, all the details you need to know in 10 minutes. First, though, I'm very excited to talk to Bobby Moynihan, one of my all-time favorite SNL cast members. He now can be seen on CBS in a new show called Me, Myself, and I. I don't know that Bobby's ever been on the show before.
Oh.
Welcome, sir. How are you?
How are you? Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. You know, we were just having a conversation about you a few minutes ago. We were talking about your show, and I was saying how tough it must be to make the decision to ever leave SNL. And all of my coworkers yelled at me and said I was an idiot, that people are so happy to walk out of that job because it's such a pressure cooker.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a relief to it, but there's also definitely, you know, I definitely miss it a great deal, of course. But it's been fun to watch it as a fan now, the last couple episodes again. Yeah, it's a crazy decision. It was even crazier to get the job in the first place, so I'm just happy I got to do it.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how many people try to get on SNL and how few do. But you must have really felt like you went through something in the trenches with all those people, with the kind of hours you guys work. I mean, I would hope that those are going to be best friends for life, that cast you worked with.
Yeah, definitely. I speak to them all constantly. Some of them are my best friends in the world. I'll know them for the rest of my life.
And it also seems like you, as an alum, you have an open invitation to go back. Like, if you wanted to pop in any time, it seems like they'd let you, right?
Yeah, I don't know about any time, but but yeah, it's definitely, it's nice to come out on the other end feeling that way. It's nice to feel like if something arose and they needed me for something, that the I would be there in a second.
What was it about... Now, as I understand it, as much as it's a tough decision to leave, you thought it was the right time because you loved this Me, Myself, and I so much. What was it about this compared to all the other things you could have left to go do that made you think, all right, now it's time to pull the trigger?
It was definitely I definitely was thinking about you start thinking about when you're going to go and when you're going to leave when you get the job. But it just kind of felt time, and my life was changing, and then this project came along, and I went for it.
Was there any hesitation at all about moving to Los Angeles?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in New York my whole life. I've never lived anywhere else. So, yes, most of my friends are out here. A lot of the work is out here. I knew it was inevitable to happen. But yeah, so far it's been going great. We'll see.
I read somewhere that you don't mind traffic. What's happening?
I do not. I love driving, and I love talk radio, and I listen to it a great deal. So traffic is anything that forces me to sit in one place and relax for a little bit, I'll do it.
What do you miss the most about New York City? I'm sure that a lot of people would say pizza. Is it that, or is it something else?
Yeah, yeah, I have not found a good pizza yet out here. Yes, maybe that. Maybe weird delicacies like bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches from a deli. They don't seem to exist out here. Everything's very healthy. I miss the pace of New York a little bit, just because I'm so used to it. It's much more mellow out here. I do not miss the weather.
No, certainly. We had Jimmy Kimmel on the other day, and of course he was born in Brooklyn and spent a lot of his youth there. And he says every time he goes back to Brooklyn, he's always a little bit sad that his kids don't get to grow up in a neighborhood like you have back in New York, where everybody's out in the street and everybody kind of knows their neighbors. It's so different and in some ways so isolating. I don't know what part of town you live in, Bobby, but the chances are you'll live there 20 years and not know the people who live next door to you. And that's just kind of weird for a New Yorker.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that completely. There's definitely a sense of more community, it seems like, out in New York. It's also a chance you'll get shot in the street, but it's definitely a different vibe out here.
Talking to actor Bobby Moynihan on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. The show is called Me, Myself, and I. It airs Mondays at 9:30 on CBS Channel 2. It's a funny show, and it's kind of, I mean, to me, it was kind of Wonder Years-y. Is that fair to say, Bobby? That's the vibe I got off of it?
That's very fair to say, yeah, very fair. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. It's kind of seeing Kevin Arnold, if you got to see him grow up.
And Jaleel White is your roommate, which is has to be bizarre to think, hey, I'm working on a show where I'm living with Urkel.
Yeah, it's wonderful. We kind of hit it off swimmingly. He's a wonderful guy and an amazing actor. And we've been having an absolute blast. I don't get to work with a lot of the people that I work with on the show because it's different timelines, but Brian Unger and Jaleel White are just consummate professionals. I enjoy them very much.
Yeah, you do have a great cast, and John Larroquette is playing you in the future, too. And by the way, I was pleased to know that there will still be an L.A. in 25 years, according to your show. That's good news.
Yeah, it's still around, yeah.
Let me ask you about a couple of other things before we have to let you go, Bobby. Besides me, myself, and I, you're kind of all over the place right now. DuckTales is such a big part of people's lives. What kind of feedback do you get from kids when they realize you're Louie Duck?
I haven't left the house much other than going to work, it's wonderful that I think they did such an amazing job on this reboot of DuckTales. It's beautiful the way that they kind of incorporated the original Carl Barks drawings and stuff and just the animation style, and I think they did a bang up job. I just watched the new episode that they played this weekend, and I love it. I love it so much. It came out so good.
Do you film, do you tape your lines separately, or do you get to be in a room with people like David Tennant and Danny Putty?
I haven't yet. I did some recording with Beck Bennett when I was still in New York. He plays Launchpad. On this one, kind of just record it as you go. I haven't been able to record it with other cast members yet, but maybe someday.
All right, last question for you, Bobby, and I appreciate you coming on today, and that is, when we heard there was going to be a David S. Pumpkins Halloween special, we squealed.
Stupid, right?
it's so dumb. Is it true that Tom Hanks was not on board right up front with the David S. Pumpkins sketch? Like, he wasn't crazy about it?
No, I mean, it's a very weird sketch. We kind of just wrote this sketch with the purpose of being confusing. We thought it was funny that there was just this kind of meandering idiot that was kind of the Santa Claus of Christmas, the Santa Claus of Halloween, and we just thought it would be a weird, funny sketch. He was definitely, I don't think he disliked it. I think he just was confused by it and wanted to make sure that he was doing something that was funny. That's all Tom wants to do. I mean, he's probably done SNL more than some cast members, so he knows what he's doing over there. And he was just like, I think he knew that it was going to work in some capacity, but he just didn't know exactly what to do with it. But between Dress and Air, something clicked, and we had a blast. And here we are doing an animated Halloween special.
Doing a special. And that must be one of the great joys of being on SNL. You never know how stuff's going to go over. You may feel good about it. You've got good comedic instincts. But you wake up the next day and realize that tens of millions of people are watching that video. It just has to blow your mind sometimes.
Yeah, it's insane. That one, I mean, like, I was lucky enough to have a couple of those at SNL. And it's always weird when you're sitting there at 5 in the morning going, I don't know, David Pumpkins? And then a couple days later, people are dressed at him at New York Comic Con, and you're like, wow.
Well, we're very excited about the special. Can't wait for that. DuckTales is out now, you guys, on Disney XD. And, of course, me, myself, and I, Monday nights at 9:30 on CBS. It's very funny. You guys ought to check it out. Bobby, always great to see you on the TV. Even more fun to have you on the radio. Thanks for joining us today, sir.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right. By my count, it is 7:20. That means the embargo is lifted. We are allowed to release details into the wild of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017, Saturday and Sunday, December 9th and 10th. At the Forum, the 9th and 10th at the Forum. Give me a little details on night one, would you please?
All right, I want to see everybody jumping up and down. You ready?
I just want to say that I never thought we'd be on this stage.
Thank you, K-Rock Acoustic Christmas!
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. Night one, Saturday, December 9th, the Forum.
Hey there, it's Matt from Muse, and we will see you at K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas.
News.
Los Angeles, California.
California. It's me, your old friend, Jared Leto.
30 seconds to Mars. Queens of the Stone Age.
Acoustic Christmas
2017.
Let's play some songs, huh?
Rise Against.
Don't hold me. Please welcome Mr. Tom Morello.
Prophets of Rage.
And between Christmas music, maestro.
Run the Jewels.
Nobody's free. Nobody can choke.
Cold War Kids. Judah and the Lion. Christmas 2017.
Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale this Friday, October 20th at noon. Proceeds benefit the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center and Para Los Niños.
Chase, make more of what's yours.
That's just the first half, you guys. That's just night one. That's the December 9th, Saturday night at the Forum. Night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. Look.
You guys.
Dude. Look, you had me at Queens of the Stone Age.
You guys.
You had me at Muse. You had me at Rise Against.
I know, right?
30 Seconds to Mars, Prophets of Rage, Run the Jewels, Cold War Kids, Judah and the Lion, and the always great Royal Blood. That's night one. Now, how about some night two?
What do you want for Christmas?
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017.
Night 2, Sunday, December 10th at the Forum.
Hooray for Hollywood!
Morrissey.
I'm so sorry. Every day is like Sunday.
I spent the day in bed.
Listen up, people. This is Brandon Flowers, and we will see you at K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas.
The Killers.
Somebody told me heaven and me know the way to the top of the charts.
Get it up, are we
there? Weezer.
Acoustic Christmas 2017.
The Lumineers.
Ophelia, my sweetheart.
Foster the People. Phoenix.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Walk the Moon. Franz Ferdinand.
Take me out.
Here we are at the K-Rock Party.
Ex-Ambassadors. Joy. K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017.
Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale this Friday, October 20th at noon. Proceeds benefit the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center and Para Los Niños.
Chase, make more of what's yours.
Morrissey, you guys.
Killers, you guys.
Morrissey headlining night number two, December 10th at the Forum. Yes.
Hell.
Now, Allie, you've been having Killers feelings for a long time, and they finally, your spidey sense paid off because they're playing the show.
This, I'm sorry. This come at me, bro. If you have any complaints about these lineups, come at me. I will fight you.
No complaints allowed. Okay. No complaints necessary. Right. Morrissey, The Killers, Weezer, The Lumineers, Foster the People, The Return of Phoenix, also Walk the Moon, who, by the way, I haven't heard the new album yet, but I hear it's phenomenal. Franz Ferdinand, one of my all-time favorites. We love the Ex-Ambassadors, Vance Joy. It's a great, great lineup. So there you go. That's night number one, Saturday the 9th, night number two, Sunday the 10th, both at the Forum. Tickets are going on sale this Friday, October the 20th at noon, okay? Tickets available online only at Ticketmaster.com. You must be a K-Rock Street Team member. It takes like 30 seconds at krock.com to sign up. That way you get the password and you can buy the tickets. The beneficiaries this year, once again, are Parlos Niños and the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center. Tickets are going on sale Friday at noon, you guys. Get the complete details at krock.com. And let's run those lineups by you one more time, shall we?
K-Rock, almost
Coast Acoustic Christmas 2017. Night 1, Saturday, December 9th, The Forum.
Hey there, it's Matt from Muse, and we will see you at K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas.
News.
Los Angeles, California. It's me, your old friend, Jared Leto.
30 seconds to Mars. Queens of the Stone Age.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017.
Let's play some songs, huh?
Rise Against.
Mr. Tom Morello.
Prophets of Rage.
A little Christmas music, maestro.
Run the Jewels.
Nobody's free, nobody can show.
Cold War Kids. Judah and the Lion.
Christmas 2017.
Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale this Friday, October 20th at noon. Proceeds benefit the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center and Para Los Niños.
Chase, make more of what's yours.
And what do you want for Christmas?
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017.
Night 2, Sunday, December 10th at the Forum.
Hooray for Hollywood!
Morrissey.
Listen up, people. This is Brandon Flowers, and we will see you at K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas.
The Killers.
Somebody told me. Heaven and me know the way to the top of the charts.
Acoustic Christmas 2017.
The Lumineers.
Foster the People. Phoenix.
Is there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Walk the Moon. Franz Ferdinand.
Take me out.
Ex ambassadors. Vance Joy.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale this Friday, October 20th at noon. Proceeds benefit the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center and Para Los Niños.
Chase.
Apologies to Amaris and her family. She tweeted at K-Rock this morning after the announcement. I was screaming so loud while listening to the lineup, I woke up my whole family.
Uh-oh.
Sorry about that, but understandable. With that band right there, Muse headlining night number one, Saturday, December the 9th at the Forum. What a lineup. I mean, 30 Seconds to Mars and Queens of the Stone Age and Rise Against and Prophets of Rage and Run the Jewels and Cold War Kids and Judah and the Lion and Royal Blood. And that's just night one.
Yeah.
And night two, you got your Morrissey, The Killers, Weezer, Lumineers, Foster the People, Phoenix, Walk the Moon, Franz Ferdinand, X Ambassadors, and Vance Joy. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon for K-Rock Street Team members. You want to head on over to KRock.com for all the details. All right. Larry Flint, you guys, back in the news.
What?
I know, right? Larry Flint is still alive. He was shot. It's got to be 25 years ago. He's been in a wheelchair all these years, but continues to run the hustler business. If you haven't ever seen the movie The People versus Larry Flint, by the way, it's a phenomenal movie with Woody Harrelson and Courtney Love. It's a great movie. He's a real First Amendment champion. But he's back in the news inserting himself into politics right now because he – I don't know. I'm trying to read between the lines here, Allie, but I feel like he doesn't love the president.
Yeah, I think you read that correctly.
Doesn't seem to be completely on board. He says, look, Donald Trump has been out there doing Donald Trump things for 30 years. Somebody's got to know something that will lead to his impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry is putting his money where his mouth is. He is offering 10 million dollars for information leading to the impeachment and removal of the office of Donald J. Trump. Full-page ad. He took it out in the Sunday edition of the Washington Post. $10 million for information. So we thought we'd find out more about what's going on. Let's bring the head of Hustler back onto the Kevin and Bean Show and say hello to Mr. Larry Flynn. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How are you guys?
Well, it's good to talk to you again, sir. Now, in the past, you have offered $1 million for various political things that you've been looking for, but this time you're up in the ante to 10. What's going on?
Well, this is the big one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you want to get, this kind of information, you have to pay for it. And I enjoy your Dr. Evil impression, too. That was good. $10 million.
Well, it's a stunning amount. I mean, it's the type of amount, and I guess this is what you're thinking, Mr. Flynn, that will make people who are on the fence about it or thinking, hey, maybe it's not worth the trouble to actually go ahead and call the phone number in your ad, because that's life-changing money.
If we know anything about the people around Donald Trump, is they love their money.
They do.
And so I think this will be the sort of inducement to get them to come forward and do the right thing, because they wouldn't do it for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there any parameters on the types of things you're looking for? I mean, is it tax?
Anything that leads to the impeachment and removal from office of Donald J. Trump, is like the ad says, and I'll negotiate. You won't get $10 million, but if you have the P tape, it'll be like worth like $2 million.
All right.
Or if you know what animal he gets his hair from, you got that information. It's good for like $100.
I mean, that is a great mystery, though.
You know where he buys his penis pumps?
Oh.
If you got that information, I'll give you like $10,000.
Okay.
Or if you know the lady who spray paints him, that pumpkin orange color.
All right, so it's
worth like $2,000. I mean, I got money. It's a sliding
scale, then. It sounds like there's a lot of different things you're looking for.
Yeah. I mean, $10 million for impeachment, $1 million just to, make him cranky.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Now, are you worried about, he does have the full, power of the United States government behind him. Are you worried about, how he doesn't like it when people come at him, and he might come back at you, Larry?
Yeah, I thought about that, but then I realized, really, what's the worst he can do to me? I'm already in a wheelchair.
Right, well.
I've spent a lot of time with Courtney Love. I mean, I've been through it. I've been through the worst. And I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid because I have the power of the free press behind me, and that's still a powerful tool. And I also I've been working out a lot too, so I think I can handle myself.
You've been working out?
Yeah. Let me walk over here and get these barbells. Show you how much I got.
Hold on,
Larry. Larry. How does he always forget?
I think I need to do more leg presses.
You're not dreaming. You're actually hearing Morrissey on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Why? Because he's headlining night number 2, Sunday, December 10th, at the Forum of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017 lineup, just announced moments ago. Get all the details at KROQ.com. And by the way, while you're there, check out the new Kevin and Bean Limited Edition T-shirt, also available this week, going on sale Thursday morning at 10 a.m. for 24 hours only until Friday morning at 10 a.m. This is an homage to the struggle, Allie, that I have my two busiest weekends of the year when I have to write strongly worded letters to remind people that it's called daylight saving time, not daylight savings time.
Yeah. But this one's a double whammy, though, right?
Oh, because people are going to be talking about daylight saving time, not realizing that we're actually going into standard time.
Right.
So daylight savings time starts in November. That's
no,
the problem.
No. Daylight saving time, and it ends in November and becomes standard time.
Oh,
right.
You got your hands full.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I can't believe the government asked you to do this.
Falls on him every year.
What's his job pay, by the way? What are they giving you now? What's the government paying you to set
First of all, I do it for the love of truth, Ralph. But second of all... This limited edition Kevin and Bean t-shirt features all of my struggles, and you can see it at krock.com. They go on sale Thursday morning at 10, $19.99 plus tax. Proceeds go into a great, terrific local charity, the Southern California Bulldog Rescue. Again, all the information at krock.com. Rob is here now, ahead of Andrew Siciliano, talking the NFL, and we'll talk a little Dodgers with Andrew, too, coming up after 8. But first, what's going on in showbiz?
Well, it's Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Happy Death Day is at the top at number one. It debuted with $26.5 million this weekend. Someone shut the door, the drawer of the cash register there.
What happened there?
Blade Runner 2049 was second with $15 million. Then The Foreigner debuted with $12.8 million. That's the new Jackie Chan movie. It was fourth. The Mountain Between Us was fifth. American Made, $5.4 million, made it number six. Then the rest of the top ten was The Kingsman, The Golden Circle, The Lego Ninjago Movie, My Little Pony, and Victoria and Abdul at number ten.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm just... just makes me laugh how much Bean wants to see Victoria and Abdul, mm-hmm. and he didn't see it last night.
Yeah.
What did your wife think of Victoria and Abdul?
She loved it.
What is it about? What is the film itself?
It's about Queen Victoria and a platonic friendship that she had for many, many years with an Indian man named Abdul.
Oh, I'm sorry. I nodded off when you start talking about Queen Victoria.
And by the way, all you need to know is Judi Dench as Queen Victoria, who already won an Academy Award, you'll recall, for playing Queen Elizabeth the First. Now she's playing Queen Victoria on screen, and she's... apparently, people went to see it. It was number 10 this weekend. Box office.
I'm sorry, I nodded off when you said Judi Dench. Are we still in the air?
You loved her in the Bond movies, right?
Yeah, she was a great M.
She's a great actress.
Yeah, she is a great actress. Some lucky Taylor Swift fans in London got to hear her entire new album Friday night. She had...
Oh my God.
I'm so jealous. Those kids. They had the secret listening session for Reputation. Also included a meet and greet with Taylor. Fans were sworn to secrecy, but one of them said the new album is so different, yet so her. I'm sorry, she said, so different, yet so her, because it was in London.
Have you seen the pictures of Taylor with each and every one of those fans and how happy they all are?
No! I haven't seen any of those pictures because I don't.
It's inspiring.
How is it inspiring? Because she stood next to someone?
Because
she inspires you to stand next to people?
Because she takes the time to surprise her fans with an event like this where they come to her apartment in London and get to listen to the album with her. Such a fun thing.
Oh, is it her apartment?
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Way creepy, right?
She does. She's done this for previous
albums. Did she answer the door in a robe?
Right.
Right?
It's a little creepy.
Did she Weinstein him?
She showed up at a fan's house the other day, by the way, to deliver a package.
What's her malfunction? Why can't she just stay home and do her job? Why is she bothering people?
Because she loves interacting with fans. That's why.
Does she have any friends to hang out with? I feel like this is just sad.
You love me, right? You love me. You're my fan. Give me love. I'm so lonely.
I think it's adorable.
I'm so lonely.
And I love her.
Can I stand next to you and take a picture?
And I can't wait till November 10th for the album.
Sure, the publicity has nothing to do with why she does any of these things. She does it solely out of the kindness of her heart.
That's who she is.
That's who she is. She's a giver and a stander. She likes to stand next to people and take pictures.
Finally, we're all on the same
page. She's a farter and a racist.
That's just not true. That's unfounded. A guy said that once, but it's not true.
No. Speaking of Harvey Weinstein, more and more women coming forward saying that he attacked them. It's getting ridiculous, the amount of damage that this bastard has done for decades. Courtney Love, however, was trying to warn people about it back in the day. You've probably seen the video by now on TMZ, but she was on a red carpet in 2005, and she was asked by Natasha Leggero, actually, who was working the red carpet for Comedy Central, said, what advice would you give aspiring actresses? And she said, never accept an invitation to a private party at the Four Seasons from Harvey Weinstein.
Oof.
And I can assume the story behind
chilling that. In retrospect.
Yeah, really. She said after TMZ dug up that footage and put it on there, she said that although I wasn't one of his victims, I was eternally banned from CAA for speaking out against Harvey Weinstein. So
I don't doubt it.
There's a machinery in place in Hollywood that allows these bastards to do this kind of thing for decades, and... he didn't act in a vacuum, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, had a lot of people protecting him.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who bear responsibility for what's going on.
Ralph, you have any thoughts? I have the tape if you want it, but do you have any thoughts on Al Michaels putting his foot in it a little bit last night?
Look, here's the thing, and now we have James Corden, who made some awful jokes at the AMFAR event. He's getting heat for that. Al Michael was just trying to make a flippant comment on what was happening. It was tone deaf, and it was in bad taste, but I don't think he was doing anything necessarily bad. This is such a sensitive topic now that people are getting jumped on, I think, for reasons that aren't necessarily valid.
I disagree. Do you have what he said?
I mean, let's face it, the Giants are coming off a worse week than Harvey Weinstein, and they're up by 14 points.
Only my L.A. guy comes up with that
one.
Well,
you know.
There you go.
All you have to do is read the papers. Any paper.
Yes, Allie.
One, he had that in the chamber. He was waiting to use that the whole time. I don't think it was off the cuff. Two, you know who's had a worse week than Jerry Weinstein? All those women.
Harvey Weinstein?
Oh, who did I say?
Jerry. We don't know who Jerry is, but he probably had a bad week, too.
I hate all of them. I think the women might have had a worse week than Harvey.
And that's what Ralph's referring to as it being tone deaf.
It's
Harvey's not
the
victim. No,
it's tone deaf. But here's the thing. If you see that video posted on Twitter, take a look through some of the comments made by the men that are commenting. Oh, women, get over it. It's a joke. It's rape culture is what it is. And if you don't see that, maybe we need to start that conversation.
I don't think he was supporting Harvey Weinstein.
I don't either.
I don't think he was supporting him.
I don't think he was defending him
By saying the Giants had a worse week than Harvey, you're not doing any favors to the women.
No, you're not. It was a tone-deaf bad joke and bad taste, but I don't believe he in any way was trying to excuse or stand up for Harvey Weinstein. He was just making a joke about something that was in the news. And it was insensitive and tone deaf, but I don't think he was doing it with
any
malice.
I don't think there was malice. I don't think so either.
Yeah.
There doesn't have to be malice for it to add to rape culture.
Here's Al's apology sometime later in the game.
Back in Denver. Sorry I made a reference earlier before. Tried to be a little flip about somebody obviously very much in the news all over the country and was not meant in that manner. So, my apologies, and we'll just leave it at that. We'll leave it with
you. Yep. Move on.
Yep.
Yeah. Sometimes what you think in your head is not the way things happen in life after you say things, and so at least he recognized that much. Today's celebrity birthday, Suzanne Somers is 71 years old today. Filmmaker David Zucker, the man who gave us Airplane, along with his brother, 70 years old today. Tim Robbins is 59. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 55 years old today, and singer John Mayer turns 40. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
One of the best bands in the world today, Queens of the Stone Age on K-Rock. They are going to be playing night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017, along with Muse and 30 Seconds to Mars, Rise Against, Prophets of Rage, Run the Jewels, Cold War Kids, Judah and the Lion, Royal Blood. All that just night one, you guys. And then night two, you got your Morrissey, The Killers, Weezer, Lumineers, Foster the People, Phoenix, Walk the Moon, Franz Ferdinand, Ex-Ambassadors, and Vance Joy. All this new information just announced last hour here on The Kevin Bean Show. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. Details at krock.com. First this, though.
And Turner in the air to center field. That ball's hit well. Martinez on the run. This is way back. And it is gone! It is a walk-off home run for Justin Turner!
29 years to the day of the Kirk Gibson playoff home run that has been immortalized, that we've seen thousands of times on film throughout all these years. And Justin Turner gets the chance to be the hero last night, and the Dodgers are up 2-0 on the Cubs. Andrew Siciliano, since the last time we talked, your Indians got eliminated, and I'm sorry for that.
Thank you for your mourning. Thank you.
But you're all in on the Dodgers now, right?
Absolutely. I want to talk to the guy who caught the ball in the center. How about that dude?
How about that dude? It was hit right to him, but he just caught it with ease. He was the only guy out there.
He casually leaned over the – didn't even lean. Just stuck his arm out over that railing and caught it. What a scene. I mean
– what an amazing souvenir, right?
Yeah. The crazy thing about it is the Dodgers – I think we talked about this last week – when they were so red hot early in the summer, and they found a different way to do that every single night. It usually wasn't a homer. I mean, it was one of 85 guys off the bench that would hit a ball up the gap or
right,
squeeze one through the right side or whatever. But for Justin Turner to come up, to do it off a guy like John Lackey, who obviously had, playoff success with the Angels back in the day, There's just so many cool things about that. To do it on the 29th anniversary of the Gibson home run, right? 29, was that the number?
Yeah, that was it, 29 years today. Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember where you were on that Saturday night? I was babysitting the Ratner kids. The game was on NBC. Mike Davis, after he got to first, I perked up. I had fallen asleep on the couch. He hits the homer. Eventually, they got to a live SNL. I was on the East Coast. A live SNL that night. Dennis Miller with the long hair was doing SNL. And they had somebody toss a baseball across the desk in the middle of one of his bits. And he kind of did that neck twitch and goes, "Hey, Gibson hit the hell out of that thing."
I can't believe you remember all that from 29 years ago, Andrew.
You can't. It's one of the greatest baseball sports anything moments of all time.
I remember I was eating Chinese food with my family because we wound up leaving the game early.
Come on.
Oh, no, that was Beer Mug. Sorry.
Oh, that was Beer Mug and his mom. That's right. Exactly. Yeah, they were at that game and drove away and missed that moment, Andrew.
They were one of the taillights you see in right field.
Yeah, exactly. All right, here's the guy. Here's the information, Andrew. Listen, Christine just found an interview with the guy who caught the ball last night. He says, I'm a lefty. I've dislocated my right shoulder so many times I had to resort to my son's glove on my left hand. So the last five or six home run balls that I've caught, I have caught with my left hand. He's been a season ticket holder for 10 years, and he says he's caught lots of homers, at least 8 on the fly, and he has twice as many of that in his collection. So apparently that's the place to sit if you want to get a Dodger home run ball, right?
Wow. Yeah, sign that guy up.
Last October, he caught Turner's home run against Jake Arrieta as well. So he's got one from the 2016 playoffs as well. Boy, that dude is something else. All right. Well, anyway, go Dodgers. It looks like unless the Cubs can win 4 out of the next 5 games, the Dodgers are going to the World Series and will face either Houston or New York. So we'll save that for another conversation. Let's talk some football, Andrew. How was your red zone yesterday?
It was good. I mean, it was one of those, you know, we have this old saying that close does not necessarily mean good. There are a lot of close games that you didn't think were going to be close, and a lot of games that were close but not necessarily good, you know, but gave you, like, look, the Ravens and the Bears, for example, was not a good game. Mm-hmm. But in the last 5 minutes, it had craziness in it that turned into an exciting finish. That makes sense?
Yes, totally. It totally makes sense. I don't think the Dolphins and Falcons was a particularly good game, for instance, but it certainly got dramatic there at the end, right?
It did, and I was giving my condolences to Dave on the phone, as he is, you know, Falcon fan number one over there. To show you how unexpected that was, the Dolphins on the season had scored only 3 offensive touchdowns.
Is that
3
good?
It's not good. And coming in, there was no other team that had collectively scored fewer than 7 offensive touchdowns. So, I mean, they were the worst offense, and it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Yet they rallied from down 17.
What do you make of the Patriots at this stage of the season? Allie has been concerned since before the season began, and at one point yesterday they're down 14-0 to the Jets. What's going on with that club, Andrew?
All right. Well, Allie was entirely right. And this is the point in your broadcast, Dave.
I stopped listening after Allie was entirely right. That's all I needed.
Entirely right. They can't stop anybody. Their defense is historically bad. And that's not an overstatement. Now, in the last week and a half, it's gotten a little bit better. But through 4 weeks of the season, their defense was historically bad. They had trouble stopping Josh McCown yesterday. And they got the big, big, big benefit of a very head-scratching call. Let's put it that way.
Yes,
still
they did.
Now, hard to fathom.
What do you think? Just wrong, right? Just the Jets got ripped off for a touchdown, right?
I understand the ruling. I don't think there's enough evidence to back that ruling. That makes sense? Like,
yes,
for example, Todd Gurley last week is going down the sideline, right? People remember the Coliseum. Todd Gurley's going down the left sideline. He's reaching for the end zone, and the ball comes out of his hands, clearly, before it gets to the end zone, and it hits the pylon, right, the orange thing. Well, that means you're fumbling out of the end zone, and therefore it is a touchback. That is the rule. We all thought, though, Austin Seferian-Jenkins, the Jets tight end, had possession. He's falling into the end zone. The officials ruled that as he's going down, the ball comes loose, and then the ball goes, I don't know. I mean, I see it, but I don't think that there's enough considering what was called on the field, which was touchdown. I know I just made it more confusing.
You definitely did. The problem is that word indisputable. It has to be indisputable
Correct.
Evidence to overturn a ruling on the field. So even if you're 98% sure that's a touchdown, that's not enough in their minds, I guess.
Correct. And Mike Pereira, who now does a great job at Fox, he's the former head of officiating. Mike always likes to say, what do 99 out of 100 people in a bar think? In other words, you got a bar full of people, put the play on the screen. If 99 out of 100 in that bar think it's one thing, chances are it should be that one thing.
Where's okay. the bar?
Yeah, that makes a big difference.
That makes a huge difference. I will say this about the Patriots. They should not be proud of that win, period.
Well, they should be because it was a team that had won three in a row and first place was on the line, so they'll take it.
They'll take it.
They should not be proud of how they played. They look like crap.
They did not look good, but that is how they have looked pretty much all season, except would you bet against them now?
Yeah, I mean, still would.
No, but seriously, who's good here? The Chiefs are now 5-1. I still think they're fine. But let's say it's the Chiefs and the Patriots tomorrow in the AFC playoffs. They get the rematch. Are you really going to go all in on the Chiefs?
Secretly, absolutely.
Okay. Wow. All right. Hey, listen, Andrew, in our final minute, let's talk Rams. Let's talk Chargers. Chargers have got to be feeling great getting out of there with that win, right?
There are two ways to look at it. Yay for the Chargers. Congratulations. You won two in a row, and I seriously mean that. That's a gritty, gutty win. You go to Oakland. The other way to look at it is, wow, what's wrong with the Raiders?
What is wrong with the Raiders indeed?
They are listless and lifeless. They're 2-4, and they get the Chiefs this week on Thursday up there. So, you know, you better wake up quickly. As for the Rams, that is an awesome
first
game.
Place.
They're in first. Now, granted, the Seahawks were off, and the Seahawks have beaten them. Mm-hmm. But if you want to say, well, it's the Jaguars, look what the Jaguars did last week in Pittsburgh. Jacksonville is top five defensively in nearly every category. Okay, they went in there on the road in a 4 o'clock Eastern time kickoff wearing their mismatched uniforms, and they beat a good team before you have to go to London. I mean, you can't overstate how big that win is. They're not actually going now. They're going to chill in Jacksonville for a little bit, enjoy some nice weather, and then fly over there on Thursday.
Gotcha. Well, it was a great week to be an L.A. sports fan. You had the Kings win, you had the Galaxy win, you had the Dodgers win, the Rams win, and the Chargers win all in the same day. And I don't know how often that happens.
SC pulled it out, too.
And USC as well, yeah. It's pretty cool stuff. All right, Andrew, we love you. We appreciate you coming on. Up to the Minute on the NFL Network, of course, and DirecTV's Red Zone channel on Twitter, at Andrew Siciliano. We'll do it again next week, sir.
Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Killers on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, one of the very special guests for night two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. That's going to be on Sunday, December 10th at the Forum. Get all the details on the lineups for both nights at krock.com. Hey, this guy in Des Moines, Iowa, I kind of dig, by the way. He's a 46-year-old man who was – is his name not in the story? I don't see his name in the story here. He was pulled over in a high-speed pursuit. Now, you know I hate the high-speed chases. You know that, right? Hello?
Yes, they're awful.
You familiar with them? They're awful.
By awful, the worst. And by the worst, the best.
I hate high-speed chases so much, and I hate especially that television insists on showing them on the TV. But here's a guy who refused to pull over the other morning just before 7:30 a.m. He's on Interstate 80. It was a 15-minute chase that ended soon after he left the interstate. He was taken into custody. He said to the troopers, I have always wanted to be in a high-speed chase. It was on my bucket list. Court records show that he was arrested. He's not yet been charged. State Patrol Sergeant Scott Bright told the Associated Press he had never heard such an excuse in 28 years of policing. So here's a guy who's watching high-speed chases on TV and going, you know what? One day, that's going to be me. I got to do that. It's on his bucket list. Now, most people, I don't think, have an item on the bucket list that's going to get him arrested, I would think. Most people tend to want to shy away from being arrested. But that's what he wanted to do, and that was his excuse. I've never heard that before.
No.
So we got thinking about bucket list. I don't know how old you are, but at some point you thought, you know what? I'd love to do X before I die.
Do drugs?
No, no, no. Okay. All right. I'd like to do fill in the blank before I die if that's better. So we're going to take your calls and texts at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for unusual items on your bucket list, all right? So if you, I want to go to Paris. That's not a bucket list item, okay? Good luck. I hope you make it to Paris. It's a great city. We're looking for unusual items on your bucket list at 1-800-520-1067. Miss Allie McKay, I know you have one.
I do. And a lot of people will think this is pathetic. But for me, it's really all I want. I want to watch Jeopardy with Mel Brooks. He, thank you. Thank you, random smattering you of
like,
applause.
You mean like go over to his house and yes. pull out a TV tray and
yes.
sit there with Mel and just watch Jeopardy?
Yes.
Hmm. Why? Is he good at Jeopardy?
He loves watching Jeopardy.
It was on like a known fact.
Oh, yeah. It was on getting coffee in cars with comedians. Jerry Seinfeld did the show with him and
Carl Reiner.
And they meet up with each other every single night. They get soup. They get sandwiches. They have their TV trays and they watch Jeopardy. I'm not even adding anyone else to it because I think it's just too much. It's just too much of a dream.
Yeah.
So it's just me and Mel.
Just you and Mel.
That's all I want.
I don't know how many.
Don't you dare.
I'm saying if you're going to do it, you should do it soon.
I would like to. Thank you.
Let's not put that off for 10 years, is what I'm saying.
I see what
All you're right. Saying. Beer Mug, you are in here. You have a bucket list item for
actually,
us? Taking your calls, 1-800-520-1067. What's yours?
I have actually three. One of them is because you guys know how avid of a golfer I am and how good I am. I want to go to St. Andrews.
Oh, yeah.
Where golf began.
The old course. There's like seven courses there, but the old course is, they say, where the game started. I want to play around there.
Okay.
And then I want to go to Dodger Stadium and play like a pickup baseball or softball game on the field at Dodger Stadium.
Now, hold on a second. Let me stop you right there because you know that from time to time the Dodgers do a celebrity game where they have local personalities go out there and play a game. You could easily be a part of that.
But except I'm not a celebrity.
Well,
so,
yeah.
All right. But okay. And then three, I would love to do a sound check on some sort of drum kit at like a huge amphitheater. I don't even need to play in front of people. I just want to go and hit the drums while they're sound checking so I can hear the reverberation of the kick drum and the snare throughout the whole amphitheater. Yeah, check one, two. Do all that. That'd be awesome.
Like go out to Glenn Hellet or something like that. Just drag a set out of the stage.
That would be my dream.
Look at Muggs, by the way.
He just lit right up.
Those all sound fun, by the way.
Yeah.
Let's take one before the break. Let's make it Mario, L.A., please, line 2, 1-800-520-1067. Mario, we're talking about a bucket list item. You've been thinking about this, and you got to do it before you die. What is it?
I want to jump on a running train like a hobo with a sack on a stick.
I don't see what's standing in your way of doing that. That's a fantastic idea, Mario. All right, thanks. Thank you for the calls. We'll take yours next coming up. Just ahead of Weezer here on K-Rock, a man in Iowa took police on a high-speed chase. Why? Because it was on his bucket list, something he just wanted to do before he dies. So we're taking your calls now on what's on your bucket list. Let's go to Anthony, please, Newbury Park, line 3, just ahead of getting into some Weezer here. Anthony, what's going on, man?
My bucket list item is I want to be lit on fire.
What?
Yeah,
you mean
like,
you want somebody to burn you to death?
No, not today. I work with a bunch of stunt guys, and we light them on fire every single day. And I want to set on fire at least once in my life.
Well, if you're working with stunt guys, it sounds like that's in your power to make that happen.
It's close, but not quite there. Need to definitely pull some strings to get it. But one day for sure.
Well, based on this call, I hope it's soon. Get off my phone, Anthony. Thanks for calling. We'll take your calls next coming up on K-Rock. K-Rock, Almost Christmas 2017, Night 2 Band. That's Weezer on K-Rock. We're taking your calls and texts at 1-800-520-1067. What's on your bucket list from the 559? I'd like to taser somebody. Not a stage taser. I'd like to be at a club and just drop somebody to see the real reaction.
I hope
you're getting the position to do that at some point. From the 626, I've always wanted to run out onto a baseball field in the middle of a game like Drew Barrymore did in Fever Pitch. You can do that at any baseball game you go to. You may be banned from the stadium for life, but you can do it once, right?
No.
Well, you can.
You can. Don't do that. Unless you're naked.
Speaking of baseball, Sister Producer Christine, you've got a bucket list item. What is it?
I do. So I love baseball, like half of us on the show do. And a couple of my buddies and I from college, we do a baseball tour. And so my bucket list item is I want to visit every ballpark before I die.
I think that is a very common bucket list item.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who try to do that. Yeah. So I've seen people who have done it in one season, by the way. And I don't know how you do that without a, you know, if you got a job.
I'm only at 13, so it's taking me a minute. But
all right. Okay. That sounds like fun. We got a baseball fan on line one. Wait to hear what Todd in North Hollywood wants to do, too. 1-800-520-1067. Todd, what's your bucket list item?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'd like to take on Dodgers ace Clayton Kershaw in a game of ping pong.
All right.
He's a big ping pong guy.
Oh, is
he now? Have you been to his ping pong for purpose events?
Yeah, no, I've yet to attend, but I kind of want this to be away from the crowd.
Okay.
Just me and Kersh.
You just want to get
just
him in the
you
basement.
And, you and Kersh in your man cave playing some ping pong.
Damn Skippy.
I like it. I agree. Maybe start small, though, and go to one of his Ping Pong for Purpose charity events and then kind of put the vibe out there. See how that goes.
That could, you know what, Miss Allie McKay?
Mm-hmm.
That's good advice.
All right,
that's good
Todd,
advice.
Good,
I mean, Clayton Kershaw's already evolved and Ping Pong's already evolved, so it seems like it checks a lot of your boxes. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Susan in Westchester. Up next, please, line 8 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Susan, thank you for listening and for calling. What's on your bucket list?
My bucket list is to ride in the Goodyear blimp.
Now, that does sound like fun. Have you looked into it? How difficult is it to be a passenger on the blimp?
You have to know somebody in the Goodyear echelon, I guess. You got to know a president or a vice president and put in the request, and it takes years.
Really?
That doesn't seem fair.
I've been trying to write a letter. My brother's been writing letters. I've been driving by it for years, and it's just always something that I've really, really wanted to do.
Hmm. Oh, Susan, would it really bother you if I was asked to do it and I turned it down? I know.
No.
I should have done it, but I'm not a big flyer anyway, and then I thought, oh, this would be it. Just boom, right to the ground.
Allie, if you get asked again, please let Susan go with you.
If I get asked again, I'm going to say I need to take my sister Susan.
Okay, there we go. Thank you for the call. Hope it works out for you. Appreciate it. Let's go to Tony up next, Ventura, line 2. Hey, Tony, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, I want to go to Oktoberfest with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Can I ask why? What's the backstory on that?
Well, I went to Oktoberfest in Munich one year. It was amazing. And then I found out after I left that Arnold had been there in Munich. And I'm like, oh my God, I could talk to the governor over a beer about all kinds of stuff. He might get a little drunk, a little loose, maybe talk about smashing a Kennedy. Awesome.
Oh,
all right. I love your rich fantasy life, Tony. Thanks for the call. Let's do one
smashing
more.
Smashing a Kennedy. That would be his wife.
Let's make it Jeff in Altadena, line 5, our final call. Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Bucket list. What do you got?
I'd like to survive getting hit by lightning and survive getting bitten by a great white shark.
Jeff.
Okay.
What are you doing to ensure that you will be hit by lightning?
I haven't thought that far ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping it happens.
Okay. So maybe like walking outside with a key, something like that.
Like Ben Franklin style.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
It's kind of a risk though to intentionally get hit by lightning, because that part's a little easier than guaranteeing that you're going to survive. I'm a little bit concerned about your plan here, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's a good one either. And okay. Neither do my kids.
Jeff, you've got kids.
Jeff has sadness in his life. Is what's happening. Jeff is waking up going, if I could just get bit by a great white shark.
Jeff all wants right. out.
Thanks for the call, dude. Bye-bye. Alternative rock. Let me tell you guys something about 30 Seconds to Mars. You want to see them live.
I do want to see them live. And how? How can I see them live?
Well, thank you for asking, Ralph Garman. K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. Details are out, and 30 Seconds to Mars is one of the great acts. It's playing on night 1, December 9th at the Forum. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon for K-Rock Street Team members. Get all the details at krock.com. It is 8:53. Ralph is here now with another look at the showbiz beat on a Monday.
Before I look at anything, I got some giving to do. I got a lot of giving to do. Wasn't that a song? Wasn't that Bobby Rydell? I got a lot of giving to do.
I don't know. There are tickets
just ready for giving to some shows that you're going to love.
Is he the one that had the high school from Greece?
I don't know. No, Rydell High?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe they did name Rydell High after him. I don't know. He was a heartthrob in the 50s.
Sure. Yeah. Bobby.
Bobby Rydell. Suburbicon is the name of the movie.
Yay!
What a cast, man. Matt Damon, Julianne Moore, Oscar Isaac. It is from some of my favorite filmmakers in the world, by the way. The Coen brothers.
Mm.
Right?
So funny.
Yeah. This looks dark. Disturbing, dark, funny. All the stuff they do so well. I've got a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advance screening of Suburbicon at the Landmark on October 24th. Movies and theaters everywhere on the 27th, but we're having a special K-Rock Advance screening on the 24th. If you'd like to go, why don't you give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers at that number get a pair of passes to see the K-Rock Advance screening of Suburbicon. I should have the more details here at my fingertips, and I don't, and I apologize, but I believe this is also produced by George Clooney. I think he
was
in bed with the Coen brothers on this one.
Oh.
Because they've worked together before. And I think Grant Heslov, George's partner, I think also is on hand.
George Clooney directed it?
He directed it!
Yes!
What?
Yes!
I knew there was right involvement.
There. It's right there.
I knew there was Clune dog involvement.
Yeah. Oof.
And Grant Heslov, I think, either wrote the script with him or
a screenplay with George Clooney, Ethan, and Joel.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of talented people involved in this project. So you're going to enjoy this movie. Call now. We'll get right back to you. Today's. Nope.
You're right. Tell us more about that sake last night.
Woo! It goes down so easy.
It does.
It's so easy to drink.
Yeah. You cold just, or hot?
Cold.
Cold,
I like
okay.
It icy cold.
All right.
And the nice ice cold Asahi with it, another
right?
beer. Like, so you're doing beer and then shot of sake
sure.
and beer and shot of sake. What's the bottle's empty? Get another bottle of sake. And then you beer and shot of sake. Next thing
I'll
you know,
lay we out, Ralph.
You wake up in the morning and you say, oh, this isn't good.
Late night?
Yeah, late night. Yeah. Sorry, I'm in bed by 8. Sorry, Bean. Some people exist after the sun goes down. Their lives still go on.
I don't see the point of it.
I know you don't. Top 10 movies at the box office is what we look at on Monday mornings. Happy Death Day. It debuted with $26.5 million. Made it number one. I think it looks good. It looks like I think there are some clever horror films. Some are just torture porn. You know, there's just the slasher stuff. But some have clever concepts, and I think this one is very clever.
I agree.
Yeah, like this one reminded me of, although it's nothing like the same story, but the same kind of conceit as Final Destination.
Yes.
Things are in play to determine whether you live or die.
How'd you like Final Destination?
How many of them did you see?
You asking me?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I technically saw any of them, but my point is, I like
that
the idea.
Right down the train tracks.
I love you.
I like the story idea, though.
I like the idea of it.
It sounds very compelling.
I like the idea of going to see a movie, but just not actually having seen one.
No. I don't have that kind of time. Come on.
Your life is just a vast void. It's just an empty. It's just a plane of despair and emptiness.
Hey, as a great man once said, you don't pour my cereal, man.
That's true. Whatever happened to that guy? Blade Runner 2049 was second at the box office. Then The Foreigner, new film with Jackie Chan, was third. It and The Mountain Between Us are the top five films. American Made was sixth. Kingsman, The Golden Circle, The Lego Ninjago Movie, My Little Pony, and Victoria and Abdul were your top 10 films at the box office.
I bet President Trump is going to screen American Made at the White House, but hate The Foreigner. Don't you think? Because he's America first. Foreigner. He wouldn't. Back to you, Ralph.
No, don't do that to me. No, you made your bed and I'll lay in it. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers keyboard player, Benmont Tench, is going to do some solo shows as a chance for people to come out and see him. He had a solo album in 2014 called You Should Be So Lucky. But he wants everyone to know that they're not going to be any kind of tribute to Tom Petty. So don't go expecting that. The reason I bring it up is because I know he's booked to play the Largo at the Cornet here in Los Angeles on the 28th of October. So he's a very talented guy, and I like his solo work a lot, but it's not going to be any sort of Tom Petty solo thing, a tribute thing, rather. So just keep that in mind.
All right.
If you go to see the gentleman. Black Sabbath's final concert. Come on, Allie.
Is it?
It is.
Is it?
It's the end.
Okay.
It's called The End. It's named The End. The name of the show is The End.
The ones that are still alive, Allie, are getting really old.
It was recorded and filmed on February 4th of this year at Genting Arena in Birmingham. And they're calling it The End, and it's going to be released on DVD and Blu-ray on November 17th. So if you're a Sabbath fan and you want to see their final concert, you can watch
this
it.
This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final curtain call. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
This is it.
I mean, he was right.
NBC announced this week's Saturday Night Live that Larry David will be hosting on SNL. Miley Cyrus will be the musical guest. Okay. This is all on November 4th, by the way, because they have to push it back because on Saturday, October 28th, you know what we get.
Is that the Halloween special?
Yes! David S. Pumpkin's Halloween special! The animated show based on the very popular haunted elevator sketch is going to play in Saturday Night Live's place on Saturday, October 28th. We get this!
How's it hanging? I'm David Pumpkins, and I'm going to scare the hell out of you! Any questions?
We had Bobby Moynihan from SNL on the show earlier today. He is dancing skeleton number two in that sketch, and he talked about how surprising it was to wake up and find that sketch had gone viral the next day.
Yeah.
Because you never know when you throw something crazy like that at the screen if it's going to connect or not, but people loved it.
You also talked about how tentative Tom Hanks was about doing the sketch. Mm-hmm. Wasn't quite sure what was going on with it. Was a little confused. I can see why he would, but you know, that's crazy about Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks completely commits in that sketch, and that's what made it work, is because he is so completely dedicated to it, and that's what... Are you crying, Allie?
I have a sneeze that's waiting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Take your time, Ralph.
Trying to get through this for you then. Speaking of SNL, Kumail Nanjiani was the host over the weekend.
So funny.
Musical guest Pink. Oh, Bean.
Kumail, his monologue was great.
Then it all went downhill after that.
Oh, no, really?
It was not a great episode.
Kellyanne Conway did a very funny Kellyanne Conway sketch.
Okay.
I liked the game show. Kumail is the game show contestant.
Yeah, that was
very funny.
It started off promising.
Yeah. It was not a great episode, you guys, but seriously, watch his opening remarks. His monologue was, I think, the highlight of the whole show. I thought he was terrific.
Yeah. I don't think they called him the opening remarks of Saturday Night Live.
I said monologue also.
And now, with some opening remarks, it's Kumail Nanjiani.
When he addressed the jury right there at the start of the trial, I was very impressed.
His closing argument, I thought, was especially compelling.
Did you think he was funny, Ralph? I thought he was
terrific. I thought the monologue was very funny. And I thought he was wasted a lot of things. That the hotel sketch was just death.
Awful.
And,
it was awful.
And I felt so bad for him.
I did, too.
Anyway, the reason I bring it up is because it was the show's highest ratings for the season so far.
Really?
Yeah. Beating the season premiere in last week's second episode as well. So it's only three episodes in, but still. Congratulations to everyone involved. And Pink was even good.
Pink's always
She's
good.
She's talented. Lady. Today's celebrity birthday is actress Suzanne Somers. Remember her from Three's Company? She's 71 years old today. Filmmaker David Zucker is 70 years old. Tim Robbins is 59. Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers is 55 years old. Singer John Mayer is 40. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Two big announcements on the Kevin and Bean Show here this morning. First is brand new T-shirt. Proceeds going to charity, this time a great local charity based in Orange, the Southern California Bulldog Rescue. So if you're an animal fan, this is the Kevin and Bean limited edition T-shirt for you. It goes on sale Thursday morning at 10 a.m. for 24 hours only until Friday morning at 10 a.m. $19.99 plus tax. Details at krock.com. It's got my big old face writing strongly worded letters to editors about the correct use of the term daylight saving time. So really, it checks all the boxes as far as I'm concerned. So if you love me, you love the time change, you love dogs, this is the T-shirt for you, krock.com for details. While you're there, why don't you peep out the information on the just-announced K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017, Saturday and Sunday, December 9th and 10th at the Forum. Allie, when we put this information up a couple of hours ago, the peeps were fast to comment with their instant reaction,
yes,
weren't they?
Yes, immediate. My favorite one, because I said, come at me with your complaints about this. I will fight you. This one made me laugh from Martha Flores. She said, this lineup pisses me off.
Oh.
Two awesome nights. Are you kidding me? It's the first time I have to be at both nights. My poor wallet.
Well, if you can get tickets to both nights, hey, good luck with that. I mean, I know a lot of people would like to go to both nights, but it's, you know, more people try to buy tickets than get tickets, that's for sure.
Yeah, these two nights, I'm sorry.
I've seen a lot of people, I've seen two things. One, the people who live in Southern California are so grateful that they do because there's a show like this. Mm-hmm. And the people who live in other parts of the country are just shaking their head going, why not me?
Right. I'm seeing a lot of people that are tweeting Radio X in London saying, why can't you do this? Like, oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Yeah, a lot of pressure. Hey, yeah. Look, these are a lot of our favorite bands that we have a long relationship with, and that's why we love working with them, and they apparently enjoy working with us because they do come back. If you weren't able to be with us early this morning, you haven't had a chance to hear the lineup yet, I think you'll be pleased. Here are some of the details on December 9th at the Forum, night one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017.
All right, I want to see everybody jumping up and down.
Acoustic Christmas 2017, night one, Saturday, December 9th, the Forum.
Hey there, it's Matt from Muse, and we will see you at K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas.
I want it now.
Muse.
Los Angeles, California, it's me, your old friend, Jared Leto.
30 Seconds to Mars. Queens of the Stone Age.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017.
Let's play some songs, huh?
Rise Again.
Mr. Tom Morello.
Prophets of Rage.
A little Christmas music, maestro.
Run the Jewels.
Nobody speak, nobody can talk.
Cold War Kids. Judah and the Lion.
Christmas 2017.
Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale this Friday, October 20th at noon. Proceeds benefit the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center and Para Los Niños.
Chase, make more of what's yours.
All right, that's just half your weekend. That's night one. Now, some of our all-time favorite bands, some returning K-Rock favorites are on night two with a little bit of a surprise at the top. Check it out. Here's December 10th at the Forum. K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017, night two.
And what do you want for Christmas?
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017.
Night two, Sunday, December 10th at the Forum.
Hooray for Hollywood!
Morrissey.
Listen up, people. This is Brandon Flowers, and we will see you at K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas.
The Killers.
Somebody told me heaven and beam know the way to the top of the charts.
Christmas 2017.
The Lumineers.
Foster the People.
Phoenix.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Walk the Moon. Franz Ferdinand.
Take me out.
Here we are at the K-Rock Party.
Music's ambassadors. Vance Joy. K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017.
Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale this Friday, October 20th at noon. Proceeds benefit the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center and Para Los Niños.
Chase, make more of what's yours.
It's a lot to take in, you guys. It's kind of overwhelming, right? Tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon. Make sure you are a K-Rock Street Team member. Friday, October 20th at noon. Tickets for both nights go on sale. Again, the proceeds benefiting Para Los Niños and Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center. Get the complete details at K-Rock.com. I didn't realize you had so many friends, Allie, until that Acoustic Christmas lineup came
out. I didn't either, PJ, right now texting me. Melissa texting me. Hope texting me. Seriously, people.
See, you guys
always... I respect
always...
it, though.
You guys always mock me about having no friends, but you know how many people ask me for Acoustic Christmas tickets? None.
I don't
have no friends.
I don't
that's
think
what
that's,
I'm saying. I'm saying it's a trade-off, and it works out.
Is it a great trade-off?
I feel good about it. I really do. Hey, it's 9:41. Ralph is here with our final look at the show. It's been on a Monday morning. What's going on?
It is a Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Big, big opening debut for Happy Death Day. People love those horror films, don't they?
They sure do.
$26.5 million made it number one. Blade Runner 2049 was second. The Foreigner debuted with $12.8 million. It was fourth. The Mountain Between Us, fifth. American Made. Kingsman, The Golden Circle. The Lego Ninjago movie. That's hard to say even in the best of circumstances. My Little Pony and Victoria and Abdul were your top 10 films at the box office this weekend. More women coming forward with their tales of this piece of garbage, Harvey Weinstein, and how he, well, depending on the story, harassed, assaulted, molested, in some cases even raped them. Australian actress Natalie Mendoza said while she was shooting The Great Raid, she was groped by Harvey, threatened to punch him. I wish he had done more than threaten. Eva Green, French actress from Casino Royale, said she also was attacked by Harvey, had to push him off. Lisette Anthony, the British actress who stars in the British soap opera Hollyoaks, she said that Harvey raped her in her home in London in the 1980s.
Oh my God.
She reported this assault to the police last week. She described the attack as pathetic and revolting and said it left her feeling disgusted and embarrassed, and she's just now able to talk about it with people. So that's the one good thing about so many women coming forward, is it emboldens and encourages other women to step up and tell their story as well. So,
and I feel like if part of the reason you didn't come forward before is because you felt people would not believe you because it was a charge against a powerful man, I think everybody will believe you now.
Yes. I think I get a sense that some of it is a personal sense of embarrassment and shame, too, regardless.
Yes.
Whether it's, obviously it's not... founded. I mean, there's no reason for a woman to
you're the victim. Right, it's not your fault.
Feel bad about her behavior when she was the one who was attacked. But I do think there is a stigma that comes with it that makes it hard for women to talk about it. So it's good that at least more women are able to come forward and tell their story. And hopefully this guy gets everything that's coming to him. You know, the thing that we don't even talk about or realize is that he was a bully across the board, not just in that way. He also used to force all the actresses that made movies with him to wear his wife's clothing line on the red carpet.
Really?
Oh, God, really?
And the Marquesa designer line. Harvey Weinstein, if you were in one of his films, would force you to wear one of the Marquesa gowns at red carpet appearances. Hmm. Felicity Huffman came forward this week and said that he came to her when she was in Transamerica, the movie Transamerica. She was nominated for Golden Globes and Oscars. He said that he would stop financially supporting the promotion of her awards campaign in that movie if she didn't wear his wife's gowns on the red carpet of those events.
Asshole!
Sienna Miller, Blake Lively, Anne Hathaway, Renee Zellweger all have similar stories. So, real piece of work, this guy.
But that will be definitely uncool.
It's definitely uncool, so you're absolutely right. Halloween's right around the corner. You can tell, by the way, we announced the Almost Acoustic Christmas lineup. That's how you know it's almost Halloween time.
It's a little bit confusing, the timing of it all.
And amightygirl.com, which is a great website, is talking about empowering Halloween costumes for girls, teens, and women. Instead of the sexy nurse or the sexy Donald Trump or the sexy fake news or
sexy FEMA worker.
Sexy FEMA worker. They've got a list of empowering costumes that women, young women, and girls can wear to make them feel better about themselves. For example, Rey from Star Wars, they say, is a great example of a strong female character where you don't have to wear a bustier.
And comfy.
All right?
Super
practically
comfy.
Practically pajamas.
I like it.
Hermione Granger from the Harry Potter series. Sweater, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cover up. Doc McStuffins from the Disney series, absolutely. And how about these professions without sexy in front of them? Astronaut, surgeon, police officer, firefighter, military member.
Or these, right, but, just, but a sexy astronaut.
No, I'm saying not.
Is way cooler than just an astronaut, though, right?
How about these historical figures? Amelia Earhart. Nah, no one will know who you are. You go around explaining yourself all night. Mary Poppins.
Practically perfect.
Practically perfect. Rosie the Riveter, Annie Oakley, Queen of the Nile. There's a bunch of costumes. So
everybody knows Halloween is just a free pass for girls to dress like sluts. They just have to call it a costume.
That's not true. Come on, Cleveland. You know better than that. MightyGirl.com is the website if you're looking for ideas for your little one this year. I got a great one this year. My kid's going to look awesome. I'm sure you guys are familiar with Descendants and Descendants too, right? You watch
sure.
that all the time?
Sure.
Disney show.
Oh.
See, Bean knows, which is like the weird part.
It's creepy.
Right?
Yeah.
I
don't love it.
The way he knew. What was the other one he was obsessed with? The Zac Efron Disney movie. The musical.
The High School Musical?
High School Musical. Yeah, that one.
Well, that was just good. The kids love The Descendants.
Yes, it's huge. So
I was wondering why they were going to be dressed like as George Clooney in Hawaii.
No, different Descendants.
These unrelated.
These are the children of all the greatest Disney villains.
Oh, cool.
And they go to school together, and they sing and dance and groove and sword fight and stuff.
Which one's Olivia going to be?
She's going to be Evie.
All right.
She is the descendant of...
The daughter of the Evil Queen. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's got a really cool costume and stuff here, so we're very excited at our house. And then Mal is the daughter of Maleficent.
Sure.
And she's played by Dove Cameron.
Oh, okay.
I know way too much about
this. Sure do.
Today's celebrity birthday, Suzanne Somers is 71 years old today. David Zucker is 70. Tim Robbins is 59 years old. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 55. John Mayer is 40 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
On your drive home today, why not listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow on the program, by the way, very excited. Not only do we have more tickets for the Clippers home opener versus the Suns, we got your Montreal Canadiens coming into town to play the Anaheim Ducks Friday. I got tickets for that.
Uh-huh, we play the Anaheim Ducks. Uh-huh.
We have a by the way, were you surprised? I mentioned this earlier today, Ralph. Are you surprised that the Canadiens are still the most winningest team in NHL history?
No, because
been around for a long time.
They were there first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It used to be just them in the National Hockey League. There was only one team, and they would win every game because no one else would show up because
right.
there was only one team.
Just by default.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why they won.
What I'm saying is, in recent years, any hockey fan for the last 25 years doesn't think of the Canadiens as being a powerhouse.
Right. They have struggled.
But they have. But still, they've won more than anybody, which is pretty amazing. So they're coming to town. Method Man on the program tomorrow.
Sweet.
He's a co-host of Drop the Mic, which we're very excited about. We got a new Bean Makes Us guest on the show tomorrow. And apparently, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not.
What's that?
Apparently, Mama Muggs.
Nope.
Yes.
Maybe I won't say it.
Don't say it.
I can't wait to hear the doom and gloom.
No.
And also.
They'll get to the series, but that's the end of it.
Then they're going to lose.
Yeah.
I would be curious to know if you guys think, because there's a Republican candidate for Congress in Florida right now who says she was abducted onto a spaceship by aliens.
Oh, yes.
Does that automatically mean she's crazy? Is she unfit for office? Would you not vote with somebody who otherwise was a good candidate because she said she had been abducted by aliens?
She'd be unfit at any other state in the union.
That may be a good
Florida,
point.
Florida, they should make her governor.
That's a good point. We'll talk about all of that tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.